say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, and all that prevents us from trusting God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten instruction and discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sin, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for his righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and the law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment that we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities, and I give myself into death, shedding my blood, to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins and to comfort and establish the new covenant, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, and confidently believing his word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified his love by washing his disciples' feet, so we by our words and actions serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us his forgiveness. Almighty himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. In this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The readings of Holy Scripture, the Old Testament reading from the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb, according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. And then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread, and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
The epistle lesson from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that what I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it about his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped about him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now also I say unto you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We together confess the Nicene Creed found in the inside back cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. grace and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, my dear friends, we come together in good part to commemorate with high thanksgiving the institution of the sacrament of Holy Communion, or if you like to call it the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, the Lord's table, call it what you will, with high thanksgiving, we celebrate that tonight. But we also do so recognizing that that's not the only thing that took place in that upper room on that night on which our Lord Jesus was betrayed. And in part, the alternate readings for the day we've chosen reflect that. The gospel reading is from St. John, the 13th chapter. Now, John, different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John records near some four or more chapters of words and deeds that our Lord Jesus did on that night on which he was betrayed, much of which is not recorded by Matthew or Mark or Luke. And we have some of these very words tonight. And among them, we have the words that serve tonight as our sermon text. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, if I had at my disposal all of the words of all of the languages of all of the lands in all of the world, with all of their nuances and textures and range and breadth and depth, if I had all of them at my disposal still I could not adequately extol to you the blessed sacrament of the altar. It is to us both a mystery and it is a marvel. While much has been said about it, it has been so succinctly summarized in the words that serve us, we draw from our small catechism, wherein it simply says to the question, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Now, I do want to underscore that we confess it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this we take from the very words of Jesus himself, who in every record of the institution of the supper from Matthew and Mark and Luke, and not John, but 1 Corinthians, which we heard tonight, in every one of them, Jesus our Lord is recorded as saying, "This is my body." It's been noted, and we should take note of it, that when the Lord Jesus says, "This is my body," and then again of the cup, "This is my blood," it's been noted, and we should take note that we take Jesus' words at face value. We take his words at face value, just as they are. And we recognize there must be something going on in and with and under the substance. Now, we have Christian friends, and many of them, who do just the opposite. They seem to take the substance at face value and say there must be something going on underneath Jesus' words. No, but we take Jesus' words at face value. In every record of the institution, he says, "This is my body. This is my blood," just as surely as in preaching on the same text on a day just like today, Martin Luther said, "And this is my hand." Doesn't represent my hand, that's my hand. The sacrament of the altar, a marvel, a mystery. So we so often sing in the hymn as we're receiving this sacrament being administered to us, "Search not how this takes place, this wondrous mystery. God can accomplish vastly more than what we think could be." And we're reminded in the Catechism of the fruits of this Blessed Supper as well, that as we do receive this wonderful meal in faith, we hear the words that are spoken, we receive the very body and blood under the bread and wine. It's unto the forgiveness, the very forgiveness of our sins. And along with forgiveness of sin, surely comes also life and salvation. As we receive this meal in that way as well, in faith, it also serves to strengthen faith and to strengthen love for one another. So in concluding the meal so often, we pray that by the same, this same meal by which we've been refreshed, that God would strengthen us in faith toward Him and in fervent love toward one another. And that's what I want to focus on then tonight. The title given to the sermon is To Live a Life of Love. Those aren't my words, I borrowed them. But you might recognize them. I borrowed them from a hymn that's become part of the corpus of those hymns that we sing during distribution of Holy Communion. It was written by our most senior pastor here. And it's from the hymn, Lord, Now Unto Thy Table. It begins this way, Lord, now unto thy table I come, for thou art able to cleanse this sinner's soul. In the hymn, as it goes on, we sing of the fruits of redemption distributed to us in the Holy Supper. And then the final stanza begins with these words and includes these words, Lord, as I leave thy table, come and my soul enable to live a life of love. Alliteration is a literary device by which you couple together or group together consonants. And it captures it nicely here. To live a life of love. And what here is spoken captures a prayer that we prayed, or a portion thereof, just a few minutes ago in the collect for this very day, when we prayed that we pray to the Lord God that grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of Jesus' body and blood, that the fruits of his redemption, of God's redemption, may continually be manifest in us. The fruits thereof, surely, the forgiveness and the life and the salvation that belong to us. Yes, but are the fruits of redemption not also found in peace and joy and love? The so-called fruits of the Spirit? The love that you and I would show others springs forth, truly and only springs forth from the love that Jesus has shown to us, that God has shown to us. I mean, think about it. When you taste and see how good God is, does it not ignite within you a fire to want to love others? When you come up here, as so many of you will, just not many minutes from now, having heard the words that our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he gave it, he said, take and eat, this is my body. That he would give on the cross the next morning for the life of the world. And then he took the cup and said, drink, this is my blood shed for you. You hear those words and then you come up and you eat his very body. And his own blood crosses your lips and onto your tongue. And you taste and see how good God is to you. Does it not ignite a fire within you or stoke the flame within you to want to go forth and live a life of love? St. John, in his first epistle, said, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another, no? Now, what's this love then? Let's ask the question, what is love? How do I love others? What is it? You might first ask, whom is it? The Holy Scripture says God is love. It's not some, you might say, tangential property that happens to belong to God. No, God is love. And God shows this love to us in this, that he gave his own Son for you and me. The word that's so often used, even in our context here, is the word agape, or some form of it. Beautiful word for love. Among others in the Greek, this word is one that denotes even especially that love of a higher for a lower. It's the same word that Paul uses when he says this: love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh, so that's love then. Well, how do I love then? How? As I have loved you, says Jesus. Did you notice? He said, a new commandment I give to you, and you say, what's new about it? From time immemorial, he's taught his people, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, then maybe that's what's new about it. No longer, it seems, does he say, love your neighbor as yourself, but now even love one another as I have loved you. I read that somewhere, and I think that that's true. A new kind of commandment I give to you. And so he took a towel, and he took up the menial servant task of washing their feet. And doesn't love call us to take up tasks that many might think to be menial, and yet they have to be done? As I have loved you, so you love one another. Or how about the cross that he took up for you? It wasn't menial. It was most difficult. But it was necessary. And are there not things in life? Does not love call to us in life to pick up and take up those things that no one wants to do? They're difficult things. And yet, does not love call to us? Does not Christ's love call to us? As I have loved you, so you love one another. No, you and I are not going to pay for anybody's sins. Leave Jesus' cross to him. But there are other most difficult things, very difficult things in life as well that are given to you that love calls out to be fulfilled. In fact, all of this talk once occasioned this remark by a particular preacher. He says, just as we've eaten and drunk the Lord Christ's body and blood, we in turn let ourselves be eaten and drunk, and also speak to our neighbor the words, take, eat, and drink. And you say, what? No, this is not mockery. It's entirely serious that you give yourself with all your life, just as Christ has done for you in these words, with all that he is. It's as if he himself would say, I myself am here given for you. I present you with this treasure. What I have, you also shall have. And you think of all that he's given to you. He speaks these words to us. We must also lay hold of them and speak them to our neighbors, not only with our mouths, but also with our deeds. That was Martin Luther. Where do we do it? In our vocations. What has God called you to be? In that particular calling, with whom has he surrounded you? Look around. All over the place. And serve friend and foe. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By all this, by this, they will all know that you are my disciples. It's recorded in the book of Acts. This. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. There was not a needy person among them. Love. Love, the love of early Christians in early Christendom, I think evoked so often the awe of a self-centered world. I think so many looked on the Christians and said what was summed up by Tertullian many, many centuries ago, see how they love one another? John reports these things to us. John was there. He heard the words of Jesus. His feet were washed by Jesus. He stood at the foot of Jesus' cross. He was given a cup to drink and food to eat. This is my body, said his Lord. This is my blood for you. John was there. And later in his life, then he would have written these words. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to live a life of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, our Heavenly Father, we, the people of your New Testament, come before you now, having sinned and having deserved only your wrath and punishment. Yet we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring of your grace for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, praying to you in earnest, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, through your servant Moses, you once instructed your people concerning the blood of the Passover that made possible your people's exodus from slavery in Egypt. Likewise, your servant Paul once instructed your people concerning the blood of the New Testament, that new exodus from sin, from death, and the devil's power. That which was given by your own dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and instituted for the forgiveness of our sins. By the inspired instruction given through your servant Paul, help us to faithfully examine ourselves, and so discern the body that by our eating and drinking of your supper, we may be kept from profaning the body and blood of your Son, our Lord, and may not be condemned along with the world, but be kept in true faith unto eternal life, ever proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes and living a life of love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, until the coming day of your Son's glorious return, graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. To the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, through all eternity. Amen.
Salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.